Well, good morning, everyone. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us we're to assemble ourselves together. I think one of the reasons we need to assemble together is to quiet down and get away from the world. I don't think we're short of getting input from the world, but we are short of quieting down and honoring Him, listening to Him. Father, would you bless this time this morning? Would you unite our hearts in one accord to hear what you have for us in your word, and then to respond and to pray as we ought to pray? So we thank you for meeting us here, and may you be honored and glorified in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we had the Psalm 74, a plea for relief from oppressors. And we ended that psalm with, "Remember that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The tumult of those who rise up against you increases continually." So that's where we were last week. And we were pleading for relief from the oppressors. Now we have a great example, I think, a great application for us today in Psalm 75, which follows that with praising God and thanking Him for what He is going to do in response to a prayer that we just made, right? How often are you doing that? How often am I doing that? And so as we begin today, we begin, "We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near." So I wanted to begin with just this old praise song, not that old, but for, well, it's a few years old anyway. Let us follow along. Does everybody have notes? You're going to need notes this morning, because we're going to end up with a responsive reading, and I want everybody to have the notes, because it's old King James, and if we mix it up with what you might have your Bible open to, it won't work very well. And so we're going to sing, "Give Thanks." Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich," because of what the Lord has for us. And now let the weak say,
I was looking at those words this morning and listening to that familiar little praise song, I was asking myself the question, when I give thanks to God, is it mainly just with words? Is it just with my lips, with my tongue, or is it really with a grateful heart? And then it goes on, because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. When we think of that, the psalmists didn't have that. They were looking forward to that, but they didn't have the Messiah. We have had the Messiah come, dying for us, victorious over sin and death. And then because of our justification by faith, we are forgiven, and we are into the family of God. And should we be grateful or what? And I think about my words over the course of a day or an hour or a week, and particularly if I allow myself to be tuning into the news. Or, can you believe that latest atrocity or whatever it is? I'm thinking, you know, it's just polluting us, just polluting us. And we need to be aware of what's going on, but we're not there. We're here. We're with him in such a beautiful spot that nothing can separate us from him. And we need to gather together, right? Yes. We need to gather together.
Yes.
Not pick up on what's the latest thing happening, or and that's not why we're here. We're here to remember him. We're here to give thanks to him. And may we give thanks to him with a grateful heart, especially as we're into this Christmas season with regard to thinking about having given us Jesus Christ, his son. Well, today, as I mentioned, Psalm 75, thanksgiving for God's righteous judgment. And the psalmist begins. Now, this kind of goes back and forth between the psalmist and God. So the psalmist will speak, and then God will speak. The psalmist will speak, and God will speak. And it's a little difficult as you look at these pronouns to see who's speaking, but I think it's pretty clear. It begins with the psalmist saying, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Why? For your wondrous works." Your wondrous works declare that your name is near. That's the way of speaking in the Old Testament, especially, that the Messiah is coming. And he hadn't come the first time. Now, we are thinking the time is near to what? His second coming. It reminds me of "Joy to the World," that great Isaac Watts song that was not written at all with Christmas in mind. It's all written with the second coming in mind. But Lowell Mason redid, and we had him before, remember, in "Near My God to Thee," he redid the tune, and then it became very popular. Well, he did the same thing with this song, and he released that new version of the song during Christmas season. So people associated with Christmas season, it became for a time the number one most popular hymn in the world. But all about at Christmas time. But if you look at it, it's all about the second coming. He isn't reigning in the world yet. He will, but he's not now. And so as we sing that song, we want to be thankful for the second coming. But that's another story. "For your wondrous works." So his works do tell us the time is near. Look at what's happening and happens. You know, as we go back, we had the flood, you know, and then we had the Tower of Babel, and then we go on and we have formation we call Abraham, and then we have the formation of the nation of Israel in Egypt for 400 years, and then we have the Exodus, and then we have the parting of the Red Sea, and then we have on and on and on. And every time there's another major event, God is proclaiming who he is, where he is, and he's there. And we see these events now in the end times as we think it. And it's certainly the end times, really any time after Christ came the first time, really, theoretically, is the end times. Now, the end times have gone on for 2,000 years when the disciples didn't think they would go on for 30 days, right? Or very long. But he is, we're nearer now than we were at the time of the disciples, aren't we? Because 2,000 years have gone by. And the time is near. Verse 2, "When I choose," now this is God speaking, I think, "when I choose the proper time," or the appointed time. Jesus is going to come back right on time, but his time. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. We agree with that, don't we? What will he judge? The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. Then I will set up its pillars firmly. I like that. The wicked are going to be judged, but the righteous are going to be made like pillars. What diameter pillar are you? Are you like a, are you like a soda straw? Are you like a giant oak tree? Well, I won't comment any further because I'm too much like a soda straw, I think. Verse 4. Now again, God speaking. I said to the boastful, we got four do nots here. So if you want some do nots or donuts, whichever you like a bit, but if you want some do nots today, I said to the boastful, again, we have it addressing the pride issue, don't we? We can't get through a psalm without that, I don't believe very often. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And I don't care how many times I read that, it always speaks to me that I haven't gotten there yet. Still having trouble with boasting. Do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. What is the horn? Actually, in this particular, usually it stands for power, which it does, but really in this case here, it's standing for an animal lifting up its horn in great pride. King of the jungle, or whatever. I don't know that they have a horn, but there are animals do have horns. Now, are you lifting up your horn and honking it? We'll get another horn in here. Do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Oh, it's me, it's me, it's me. Let me tell you all about me. Ever run into anybody like that, like all the time? Do not speak with a stiff neck. You're speaking with your head so high, your neck gets stiff. Look at me. Four do nots. Then, now we shift back to the psalmist again, I believe. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. And why is the north omitted? Well, most people don't know. Nobody knows. But where did the enemy come from? Always in Jerusalem, always came from the north. So exaltation means self-promotion in this case. You're exalting yourself. You're not exalting God. And I want a higher position, so I want to tell everybody how great I am. This, no, don't do that. It says, for promotion, self-promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts or raises up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. And we have that, of course, in Revelation 14. We have it again, really, in Revelation 17 to a degree. But the cup which will be drunk by all of the wicked eventually, they will drain and drink it down. And now, back to the psalmist again. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. How is your life in declaring the permanency of the Messiah, the permanency of God, and singing praises or exalting him? I will exalt him. Who? The God of Jacob. We need to keep that in mind. You know, when we talk to people about God, everybody has a God. So they'll all agree with you about God, but you don't know what their God is. And probably 80%+, maybe more, are worshiping a God. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's some other God of man or whatever it is. But here, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And then I think this is back to God again, the last verse. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. God is so good, isn't he? He will be so harsh with the wicked. We don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God, but we do thank him of his promises for the righteous. Father, we thank you for this psalm today. And as your word continually speaks to each of us in the way we need to hear it, may we respond to it, Lord. And help us to humbly come before you now and just remembering self-exaltation and promotion is not, says, do not do that. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak or pray with a stiff neck. Look at me. Lord, may we look at you. And may we pray as you lead us, Holy Spirit, in these moments. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here. As we close here today, would you just guide us in this close, Lord, in Jesus' name. As we finish this psalm today, it said, verse 9, I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Verse 10, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. And I just wanted to turn that exaltation around to him and let us sing this song, We Exalt Thee. Again, a well-known song, easy to sing. And then we will read a scripture together of exalting him to close. We exalt thee. If you'll look at your notes, let's pray together this prayer of David, 1 Chronicles 29, very familiar. And in the middle of it, he says, Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. So let's pray this. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, we read together. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Father, we thank you for your word and meeting us here again this morning. And I just thank you for these precious ones who faithfully come. And Lord, guide us today as we would stay close to you, not knowing how to pray as we ought, but you, Holy Spirit, and each and every one of us will give us that guidance and lead us. And may we know as we are led by you that we indeed are the children of God. So guide now and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here. You know, the thought, Merry Christmas. And people almost always say that in return. That just opens up so many thoughts, doesn't it? Do you know Christ?
No, I don't believe in him.
Well, do you know what God's word says?
No, I don't believe that either.
It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. You will bow your knee to Jesus Christ. Are you going to bow it now to salvation or bow it then to eternal destruction?